5, 4, 3. We are back with Horror Fix Live. This is Ash Hamilton from Horror Fix. We're actually with Anastasia Baranova tonight. Am I pronouncing the entire name correctly, Anastasia?
Yes, you are. 10 points. You win.
Okay, fantastic. Hopefully I'll get like a personal pan pizza if I get to 25 points at the end of the night. So at least I'm almost half the way there. My wife and I have a running joke about the last two people on Earth that actually recognized the Book It program, where we got personal pan pizzas in grade school for reading like X amount of books over the summer.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we're the last two people. We're the last two people that recognize and acknowledge the Book It program. That's how absolutely cool we are here. We talk about Book It programs.
Super cool.
We wear leather jackets, ride motorcycles, talk about Book It programs. We're the coolest people. Cool. Yeah, we're the characters in Grease that didn't quite make it into the final script.
I want to be friends with you guys then.
Fantastic. Well, we've already got 10 points, so we'll just base a point system based on, you know, 50 points, we're actually friends, 65 points, you can call me at home, it's going to be great. We're going to get this thing all worked out.
I'm going for 100.
Oh, wow, 100 points.
Jeez, going for 100.
Somebody's ambitious. So we're big, big fans of the show here. And as I had said to Michael earlier, it might reflect my parenting skills that our 10-year-old is a huge Z Nation fan and watches it with us every Friday. So it's
really?
Yeah, yeah. And she was tickled. Michael actually said hello to her and talked to her for a few seconds. She was like, you know, did the whole 10-year-old, I now can't talk, my vocal cords have seized if I have to ask a question kind of thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you know, and he was great. I mean, he was such a nice guy, and you know, she got a real big kick out of it. So, gonna have to thank him again for being such a good sport. So, we love Z Nation. The site loves Z Nation, and being obviously on a show that's really starting to take off, and people are getting to know you, people are getting to know your character. And as an actress, did you have any inclination as to what you were in store for with Z Nation? Because obviously it's effects driven, it's, you know, got the horrific elements, but it's a drama. Like, what were you expecting, and was it different from your expectations?
You know, what it ended up being, because I filmed everything before I saw an episode. I saw the first episode when it was maybe 80% done, and we were at that point, you know, really towards the end of the show. So I kind of, as we were making it, we kind of just went in blind, knowing that on top of what we were doing, there was so much you know, in post-production with effects and color treatments and, you know, everything that they were going to put in. So it was kind of like, God, I hope this is working. I hope what we're doing works, because, and there was always a bit of a challenge of like, I don't want to do too much, but at the same time, I don't want to do too little, because it's, you know, what if after they put everything in, it looks like we're in two different worlds?
Right.
But everybody just went ahead and tested their instincts. And ultimately, I feel like it really came together. There was, I heard a little concern from people about, you know, when the show started airing, some of the responses were like, well, does the show really have a tone? What is its voice? And I think it really found it in that it's action. Like,
yeah.
We move, you know what I mean? We move pretty quick. But
Yeah. Even
for how, quote-unquote, unrealistic it is, because we obviously, you know, stretch a lot of stuff and it's really fun, I still feel it's pretty realistic. Like, if this happened, what would you do? Some people would survive, some people wouldn't. And, you know, people would survive in any way that they could. So I feel like a lot of what we address in terms of, like, the human condition is really realistic. Like, who am I? How do I handle this? Do I go by myself? Do I stick by my team? You know, where the moral lines lie. So in that regard, I feel like it ended up being very much what I personally thought the show would be, which is a fun, hyper take on what would realistically happen in this situation. And it ended up being even more fun than I thought it would be, so that was kind of like a fun little bonus.
Now, what excited you about the character of Addie initially going into the series?
All of the women on the show are very strong, And that was clear about Addie. You know, to be alive 3 years into the apocalypse, there's no space for damsels in distress. There's no space for, you know, anything other than smart, badass. And with her, it was clear that she's deeply, deeply loving. Like, her whole thing, I'm always recording stuff with my GoPro and tracking this. Like, her whole mission was preserving what is left of the human race to create and maintain a legacy for, you know, anybody who came afterwards. So that really attracted me to her. Really strong, driven, and deeply, deeply loving, badass chick.
Now, do you use a GoPro personally?
I haven't, no, but I feel like I should. Just attach one to my forehead.
I feel like GoPros are nothing more than shark finders. Like, have you noticed that as soon as a person buys a GoPro, it seems as though there's a shark almost immediately around them? Like, every GoPro video has a shark in it now. So
that's amazing.
As a person who has an inherent fear of sharks, I don't think I can purchase a GoPro.
I'm steering miles and miles away from any GoPro activities.
And we're landlocked in the Midwest, but I still am terrified that as soon as I buy a GoPro, I'm going to take a shower, shark's going to be there.
That's perfectly logical. I mean, I understand.
It makes sense to make the leap, right? What we have seen, the character obviously transition from being this sort of, you know, because the characters are badass and sort of stoic and, you know, and they've got this ninja-esque sort of quality to them, and even the females on the show. But we are seeing some vulnerabilities with Addie, especially mm-hmm. in some of these later episodes. And that vulnerability obviously allows you to express a little more range. Now, as far as being able to juggle the badassery of Addie and then the, you know, the sensitive side and, you know, obviously the fact that she's got some baggage, was it difficult to juggle that, or did you find that transition just something that was, you know, the totality of the character?
I feel like the writers really set us up to win in terms of that, because the stakes are always so high. Like, even, you know, and that's actually what's kind of cool. That's why there's room for humor. That's why there's room for, you know, Russell's, you know, Doc's character and for Natty to come in with his one-liners. Because, you know, if you think about it, Beth is imminent at any given point in time. And gravity and what we're doing with Murphy is so important. So the stakes are always super, super high. So it's relatively easy to tap into. I mean, if you really think about it, like, living your life and then watching everybody you love not just die, but first turn into a monster, and then either you gotta kill them or you watch them die, or so, I mean, that would mess with you, man. Like, that's an intense world to live in.
Yeah, you're not gonna come out of that unscathed. You really aren't.
No, but it really defines people, right? So I feel like that was like a way in. Like in the third episode, I get kidnapped by cannibals and, you know, all this crazy stuff happens. And initially, I was kind of like nerding out, like, ooh, am I going to be able to go there, blah, blah, blah. And then I really sat there and was like, they're keeping people alive and they're cutting off parts of their limbs and then eating them.
Right.
Just be with that for a second. Okie dokie. So it was, it was way easier than I thought it would be. I had some concerns like about whether I could do it or not. And then really you just sit there and think about what the reality of that world would feel like. And obviously with the support, for me, Michael was everything. He was like my safe haven. He was my go-to. And for all the emotional stuff, I would really just look at him. And it would come. Like, it would come and I would feel safe to go there and explore a lot of stuff. And that's true for everybody in the cast.
For the listeners who obviously maybe are going to listen to this interview but didn't realize that we also did an interview with Michael Welch, who plays Mac, sort of your significant other on the show. And we asked Michael an interesting question, and it'll be interesting likewise to get your response on it. Is he sees a different dynamic between Mac and Addie as far as the way that they individually view their relationship. And Michael said that he sort of feels as though that Mac has this idea that this relationship is perfectly normal, it's perfectly acceptable, it's the way relationships should be, and that it's just another relationship. But his opinion is that the character of Addie probably views that relationship differently.
That's interesting.
Food for thought.
Just what an interesting thought. Yeah, I wonder. I'm kind of going back and, you know, in hindsight, what were my thoughts then and how was I approaching it? And, you know, ultimately, yeah, I think Addie is dealing with so much as you start to see, that it does eventually start to weigh on her, but I think that, you know, that turn happens somewhere, you know, mid-season, you know, around the fifth, sixth episode where everything kind of starts catching up. When we started, but when the show starts, it was supposed to be, you know, it's kind of like everything's been calm for a little bit. They were at Camp Blue Sky, they were with Warren and Garnett, and like, they finally created like a safe haven, and then the show kicks off and we're on this crazy journey. It's back into craziness. So I think initially there's probably like, okay, yeah, this is a normal relationship. But then as personally things start to come up for Addie, I think the whole world stops becoming what has become her norm. Mm-hmm. I think it starts to come back to like, you know what, maybe all of this isn't normal.
Right.
All of this is really, really weird. But yeah, Mac is a good man. You know, he's a good, simple man surviving in the apocalypse. So yeah, for him everything's great, and I think for
there's a country western song in there somewhere. Just a good simple man surviving during the apocalypse. Yeah.
Surviving through the apocalypse. Hey, that is good.
Yeah. I mean, if you had a pickup truck, somebody getting their tires slashed, and probably a dead dog, I think you've got probably the year's best-selling album.
That's actually kind of amazing. I invite anybody who hears this and feels inspired to take that idea and run with it, and please let us know what you create, because I'm very interested.
This might be the origin of a whole new subgenre of country music.
Right?
Right, yeah. Maybe one that I can actually listen to. So, watching the show, you've got some very, very quirky co-stars. You've got, for example, Doc and Murphy, and, you know, they've got these very interesting personalities. They're sort of idiosyncratic. Now, do you ever sort of read the script or, you know, when you're going through your lines and just think, damn, I kind of want that line? Like, they just
oh, my God, I want all
lines.
Of Russell's lines. Oh, my God, he got all the good stuff.
He does get some really awesome lines.
I got some solid one-liners, though. I was really stoked about that. I got some good stuff. What did I have? I had Cloudy with a Chance of Zombie. That's very good.
That was good, yeah.
Come on. That was very good. I got the Amish Zombies. Really? Really?
You did get to that drop the Amish Zombies line. That was good. That was good.
That was solid. But he, you know, he had some about, like, man, if Munchkins come out, I'm going to really start freaking out. And I was like, God, that's good.
And he tries to sell crystal meth to every person he comes across.
Everything. Everyone and everything. He's the new Walter White. He's the Walter White of the apocalypse.
Right.
He's got real solid stuff. And Keith Murphy, he comes in. I mean, everything he says just makes you want to murder him more.
Yeah.
But he's got the good stuff. He's got a lot of good stuff. I feel like we all have some good stuff.
So, you know, we had talked to Michael as well, and this is something obviously that a lot of fans were thinking, is you, in most television series, and like I said, I hate drawing parallels to shows like The Walking Dead, but you sort of have these dynamic cast of characters, and, you know, each of them have these very sort of Jungian roles that they play, and you have, you know, this leader character, and you know, on shows like The Walking Dead you have Rick Grimes, and obviously Tom Everett Scott was sort of, you know, taking the lead on that. And then, of course, you know, and again, for those of you who haven't listened to the other interview, or for those of you who haven't unfortunately watched the last few episodes, you know, sorry, but something's coming up that you're probably not gonna like, but we see, you know, Tom Everett Scott's character obviously, you know, leave the show.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. Was that, as far as, you know, when you're going through that episode, when you're shooting those scenes, did it feel like we've reached a real turning point here? Like, the show is obviously going to be different. You know, obviously we've taken a turn that a lot of shows don't take, where we've got our leader, we're going to kill him. I mean, what were your thoughts on that?
That was a hard one. Man, it hurt. It hurt real bad. And I was actually, because I, you know, obviously we knew what that was coming. So I was emotionally, because if anybody's ever met or knows anything about Tom Everett Scott, he's literally like the world's most charming human being. Like, it's impossible. Like, you're like, oh, like Michael Welch, you're super charming. And then, you know, and then Tom Everett Scott gets there. He didn't even say anything. You're like, who are you? Right. So he came in and just stole everybody's heart. And mm-hmm. So I started emotionally preparing, because obviously, you know, it happened with, in the beginning with, oh my God, how in the world am I blanking on his name right now? With Harold, Jesus Christ. Guys, I'm here. It's been a long day. Wow, that was crazy. You know, we experienced that with Harold Purnell's character, because mm-hmm. he was there only for, you know, a few days, and we fell in love with him, and then he was dead.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go through this with Tom, too. So I started emotionally preparing for that long ago, before it even got there. And on the day that it happened, I was in total denial. I was just walking around like, hey guys, it's a Tuesday. Nothing different here today. No three Bob. Everything is fine.
Business as usual. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Nothing to see. Everything's great. La, 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 la. And then, you know, and then we filmed it. And it was really, obviously it affects the story so much, but I think it affected everyone. And we really had, and then, yeah, one day Tom was just not there anymore. And we all had to, like, move on and, you know, and go to work and do the thing. And, it definitely, yeah, that one hurt. It hurt. It just really hurt.
Now, you've got a big episode coming up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously tomorrow is a benchmark episode for, Mac and Addie's characters. What can you tell us going into it that we might expect from tomorrow's episode?
Well, it's definitely a turning point. And what can you expect? Well, you can expect to be surprised.
Okay.
You can expect to think, and
so it's a very provocative episode, would you say?
There's definitely, there are a lot of surprises, and you can expect to hurt a little bit. And definitely edge of your seat. I mean, you know, obviously the whole show. Most
oh, yeah.
Clear it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, that's it. Definitely an edge of your seat kind of nail biter, so to speak.
Out of what we've seen so far in the episodes that have aired, what has been one of your favorite moments?
Oh, man.
And this can be sort of a behind-the-scenes thing, too. Like, when a particular moment was being filmed, or even something, you know, that was caught on camera.
Oh my God, it's like picking children. Come on.
And but it's you actually got really it. Funny. And you know, one you parent, no matter what your parents say, they might love your brother or sister more.
There's always a favorite.
They'll never
it's
tell
so
you.
It's so funny.
But they know.
They'll never tell you. But you'll know. You'll know. At Christmas, you'll know.
Oh, you'll know, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thanks for the Legos, Mom. I see that Timmy got a pony.
It's so funny. I was doing ADR the other day, and they were like, okay, now do this one like a kid who opens a Christmas present and it's not what they wanted. Like, oh, Jesus, right in the gut. Favorite moments. it's tough because it's like, okay, do I pick what was the most fun for me? Do I pick what I think was the most fun for the story? What was the most fun to shoot?
Well, what was the most what was the most fun for you? I'll make it easier. What was the most fun for you?
Well, the seventh episode where Mac and Addie separate from the rest of the group, I was on the back of a motorcycle for like 3 days shooting all of this, like all of our traveling stuff. And I was in like the coolest outfit. Like, I've got, you know, I've got the dreads, I've got this great helmet with sneakers on the back, I've got these, you know, steampunk glasses, right, the goggles. I'm in a leather jacket, it's got studs, it's camo, you look down, I've got my Z-Wacker, I'm on the back of a bike, and it was really like, this is cool, I'm cool. Obviously talking about it this way takes away any coolness, but that was really, because, you know, I got to shoot a lot of, like, you know, us riding on the back of the thing, and I really had those moments where I just, you know, I was obviously with the stunt guy doing the bike, and I just sat there, wrapped my arms around him, closed my eyes, and just, like, felt the wind on my face, and really was like, this is, welcome to your life. This
and then you
it.
Talked about
this
the Book
life.
It program a little bit, personal pan pizzas.
And, you know what I'm saying? And it all came together. It was like, God, this life thing is so good.
You see my excellent interviewing skills, how I start with Book It. And then
and you bring
the
it
end,
back.
I bring it all full circle back
it comes
to the
full
booking
circle.
Program. Exactly. That's that is expert interviewing techniques, Anastasia, in case.
Did you happen to learn that from something in Book It?
I learned that actually from a book that I read in the Book It program.
From the Book It program? You see?
That's how important the Book It program is. But you learn from the Book It program. Yeah, and you get tons of cholesterol from all your Pizza Hut personal pan pizzas.
You know, you're single-handedly like bringing Book It back into.
We are bringing Book It back single-handedly. Yeah, we've got T-shirts. Yeah. We've got all the promotional collateral. We've got the pork sausage personal pan pizzas. It's a revolution, and it may or may not be televised. We're not for sure yet. That one question that we sort of want to leave our listeners with. In the event of a true zombie apocalypse, do you have your doomsday plan? Are you ready?
You would think I'd have an answer.
Because Michael's going to die a horrible death. I hate to say it, but he's got no plan. He's not ready.
He's got nothing. Shoot. Well, I mean, I don't know. I have thoughts. I have thoughts about what one could do. It might be as simple as digging. This one actually just came to me because I had this thought of like, well, why didn't they at one point just dig big holes so the zombies would just fall in them, and then you can just they would just be there. And
so it's like a new kind of trench warfare. You just dig the trenches, but instead of you going in the trenches, the zombies fall in the trenches.
They go into the trenches. It's so simple. You just make a pothole. You know, like cartoons taught you. So I would imagine.
I like that your doomsday sensibilities come from cartoons.
God. I'm gonna survive. I'm gonna look at Looney Tunes and see what Bugs Bunny did. But yeah, theoretically, couldn't you just dig? I mean, you'd have to be kind of prepared. But couldn't you just dig a hole? But then how would you get out?
You might have painted yourself into a corner with the hole digging.
A little bit, okay. So the story, no, I have no plan. All I know is I would make a Z-Wacker, and I would... Well, isn't that like a higher ground situation? I don't know, man.
I think you've got something. Realistic. I think you've got something with higher ground. I always preach higher ground.
Right?
Yeah, higher ground's good.
Or...
But you've ran the gamut so far from... digging a hole to higher ground. So you've got everything in the middle covered.
Oh man. I hope Mac's around. He'll figure something out.
That's what you have to rely on your cohorts. You have to rely on somebody else to have a successful doomsday plan for you. Do you have a couple minutes off the air for us, Anastasia?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we can catch you tomorrow night in Z Nation on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes, sir.
And I also heard that there is a season two. We've got season
There
two to look forward to.
is. Yes. It's so exciting.
Awesome. Thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight. I urge all of our listeners, definitely check out Z Nation on the Sci-Fi Channel. If you haven't caught up, you need to catch up. Big things are on the horizon from everything that I've heard tonight from both you and Michael. Thanks so much for being on with us.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care.